News Radio 930 WBEN. It's Tom Bowerly and David Bellavia. It's Bowerly and Bellavia on News Radio 930 WBEN.
So we're waiting for the president's speech to be released. Now, we were under the impression that he was going to do a live address to the nation, and that is not quite true. That was not quite correct. So we will carry, apparently, what the president said the moment we have access to it from ABC on News Radio 930 WBEN. In the meantime, David, we're asking people a two-year period of national service between the ages of 18 and 20, and what people think about it at 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's go to Harry on a cell phone. Harry, you're on WBEN.
Hey, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on the show. I listen to you a lot when I come up here from New Hampshire on business. Yeah, you guys are talking about the same thing I've been saying for several years now, that I like the idea for 2 years. You know, maybe instead of 18 to 20, it's upon graduation from high school. Or if you've dropped out of high school and you're kind of aimlessly wandering, I think it would put a lot of social...
Dude, I'm 55 years old. I'm aimlessly wandering.
Okay. Anyway, I think it would put a lot of social ills to rest and put a lot of pride in our country. And I think there's a lot of dots that the young people haven't quite connected, because nobody's, for lack of a better term, put the pencil in their hand and, you know, lead them in the right direction. They've been kind of swayed and brainwashed, and this would give somebody a, you know, real sense of, pride, learn something. And, you know, something.
There's no guarantee they're not going to get brainwashed in a government program. There's no guarantee they won't be brainwashed in the Peace Corps or AmeriCorps or something else.
Well, you know,
I mean, it really all depends on who's calling the shots, who's running the show.
Well, let's say you're in the military. You don't necessarily have to be in a combat capacity. There's a lot of other jobs in the military that really are all now outsourced.
Right. I mean, I could totally see that there's got to be opportunities for folks that, A, don't want to do it, religiously opposed to it, or physically unable to do it. There's got to be opportunities for everyone to do it. But again, Harry, I think where you're coming from is where I'm at now. And that is, as a military force, this does not make you stronger. But as a country, as a republic, it makes us healthier. It really does.
Absolutely.
All right, Harry, thank you very much for the call to vote for 2 years of national service in some way, shape, or form. This is Carl in Cheektowaga. Carl, you're on WBEN.
You know, this is a subject dear to my heart, and I just love when people talk about this. I've been talking about this since I began my career in the military in 1984-85. I always believed that you should do 2 years of service after high school or even during college, okay? I served in a program which the Navy had back in 84-85, which was called the Tomcat program. We were Airedales, and it was 2 years, okay? Unfortunately, I wasn't able to fill the requirement for that part of it because I ended up breaking a portion of my body, a bone in my foot, and I had to get out temporarily. But I gained some momentum and ground again, and I went active duty Air Force. And once I got into the Air Force, it was a great ride. I had fun, and I will tell you right now, joining the military, whether it's 2 years or 4 years, okay, it gives you a sense of belonging, a sense of meaning, and it gives you a better understanding of humankind.
I think you're being a little bit too generous, because not everybody has the same end result of serving in the military. My father, for example, was drafted, did his 2 years in Korea, hated every second of it, and despised the U.S. Army until the day he died.
Well, you know, and that would stand to reason, because that in those eras, okay, things were a little bit more, I would have to say, more condensed, and things had to be done in a timely fashion, and everybody was under the gun.
And they kept trying to promote them, too, which was the funniest thing of all.
Well, you know, the thing is with the military, okay, it is for some people, and it's not for some people, okay? I ended up serving again in the United States Navy after my Air Force service, and then after that, I ended up going in the reserves, and then I went into the Guard. And then from the Guard, I will tell you right now, I was in everywhere and anywhere in every crevice of the world practically, and globally, okay, globally, I met people that intertwine with our military, not just our own four branches, but I had met allied forces. You know, the best thing that these kids could learn today from joining the military is not just only a sense of belonging and a sense of meaning or, you know, or whatever, but they're going to meet counterparts out there. They're going to meet the rest of the world. And you know what? The nicest thing about what I learned was that we are the richest country in the world. And the people that I've seen didn't have nothing. And that was the one thing that changed me around. When I got out, okay, I came back home because I said it was enough. You know, I had to come home and take care of the family. I learned a lot about respect, taking care of your family, and taking care of even your neighbors and your community. And no matter how nasty and how crazy everybody is, you still got to give at least some sort of helping hand. But, yeah, to me, a two-year program would be phenomenal, and it would be great if they brought that back again. I will tell you, can you imagine, guys, a country that had actual people that were opening a door and yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am, and how you doing today, and just a younger generation stepping up to the plate and having some common courtesy.
As long as they don't ask how you doing when they call into the show, I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I know. The thing is, guys, like, again, the military is for a lot of people, but you know what? What I've seen, what I've done, look at David, I had the honor of helping to ferry your men and women around, your brothers and sisters around the Army many years back, and I met some really wonderful folks in the Army. And, you know, we're all in this together because we look at each other not as a competitive branch, but we look at each other going, yeah, we're in the game, guys, you know, and let's get going here, and let's make that touchdown or whatever.
Carl, we got to get to some other folks.
Yeah, no, it's a brilliant point he's making, because the only time you really get to work with another branch of service is when you're about to do, like, a huge battle or something. Having the experience of – but diversity is important, too. You're going to meet people from other walks of life, other socioeconomic backgrounds, sexualities, religions. Everything is tribal and divided, and now you're like, you know what? There's a lot I have in common with you. And the more people find commonality, the more we get along.
And the less tribal we become.
Exactly. So in a way, to break the tribal environment, you just need to build a bigger tribe.
But one of the young men, I mean, for as much as my father hated the U.S. Army, I mean, every moment of his tour of duty, he was like checking the days off a calendar. I know a young man who just enlisted. He's 18 years old, J-Dub, and he loves the Army. I mean, he can't get an – lives, and sleeps the United States Army.
If I was going to indoctrinate someone to the United States military, it would not have been during the Korean crisis. There's no way on earth. I mean, there was a lot of reasons to hate everything about the world at that point.
Well, he couldn't stand what he called the chicken, you know, the other word, aspect of the Army. You know, your shoes will be polished thusly, they will be tied thusly. Right. You know, he felt like he was a child.
Well, there is a lot more of that when you bring a civilian in, you know, out of the cold.
As opposed to somebody who actually wants to be there.
Exactly. And I think also, you know,
I mean, my father would have been equally miserable in the Peace Corps. Well, had it existed, right, in the 1950s.
He would have been miserable in any
because nobody would have been in it with him, actually.
Yeah, he would have been upset in the food service industry as well. Anything that involves service.
All right, should there be a two... He would have been... Can't even go
he
there.
Served during the Cola Wars of the 80s.
The Rock and Roller Color Wars.
Right.
All right, so should there be a two-year period of mandatory national service for our young people? What age are we talking about? Should it be 2 years? Should it be 3 years? In addition to the military, and I really think the military should only take people who really, really, really want to be there, like the young man I mentioned earlier whose PFC pictures on the front of my refrigerator as we speak. 803-0930 *930 and 1-800-616-WBEN. Let's get back to the calls. It's Neil in Arkwright on WBEN.
Good afternoon, gentlemen.
Sir.
I actually disagree with it. For one reason, that, you know, the gladiator is probably no longer really the military guy. I mean, you're looking more at techs, and like I would say, the nerd type is our new military superhero.
Well, you know, there may be some validity to what you are saying when you talk about that, because when you look at all of the R&D programs in which the military is involved, all the stuff that goes on at Aberdeen, all the stuff that goes on with the SPA war, DARPA, you name it, there are a lot of nerds in our national defense. David, as a grunt, if you will, your take on the nerds. Are the nerds overtaking the military because of the new technology the military is working on?
Well, look, the drone stuff is, you know, Neil's 100% correct in the fact that, you know, we're targeting, you know, cyber warriors, and those aren't the guys that, you know, dug trenches and worked on their upper body strength. These are guys who are coding all day. But that is the future of warfare. I mean, whether or not we respect it or appreciate it, you know, and you see a lot of these guys, by the way, these are hackers that got busted, and they make a plea deal, and their basic plea deal is to work for the federal government to get out of prison for doing whatever they did. But the Air Force and what they're doing with drones right now, that is a very sophisticated program. And I also think we're doing a great disservice to those men and women because, you know, we go to – if you see someone from the airbase – and you see them at Wegmans, you think, well, you're a reservist, you're flying fuel tankers, you're doing whatever. There's a lot of missions that are going on there. There are real-world missions. And the idea that you can drop a bomb on someone, you know, 85 countries away on the other side of the world and then just pick up your kids and go to brunch like nothing happened, you know, that I don't think that's healthy either. You know, that these guys just matriculate back into society without even decompressing or addressing what they just did. It's not healthy for them. It's not healthy for their families because it is an important mission. It is serious. It is life and death. And just because you're flying a drone doesn't necessarily mean, you know, you're not experiencing something that might be difficult to unpack.
Hey, if you're working in the kitchen, it's worthwhile. It's good service, as far as I'm concerned.
So, service is service. You know, nobody wants to kick down a door and get shot at, but they're willing to do it, and that's what I think makes military people.
Yeah, you adrenaline junkies.
Well, you do what you got to do, but no one wants to be, you know, you don't want to be there, but you choose to be there is a difference.
In Bellavia, should there be a mandatory period of national service for our young people? And some of it can be military, but there are other things in which they can take part, whether it's the Peace Corps, AmeriCorps, or a legion of other corps and service organizations. Would that help bring America together? Will it help our young people grow up and enter the real world faster and better equipped to handle it? Or is that just a pipe dream? 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. And Neil in Arkwright has some closing thoughts.
Well, I was thinking, you know, there is one way that I would like to see people serve, and it's instead of putting them in prison, you know, if we could take that and turn that person around with military discipline, with the essence of everything that is America, and just, you know what I mean, try to recuperate that person from being, you know, ruining his record, especially as a young person.
They really show a lot of change in those boot camp environments. You know, because you find that there might be a wayward kid that does something stupid and petty, but you put them in general population, they end up becoming corrupted by that peer group.
Well, for a while, like, we've got places around here like Lakeview Shock Incarceration Camp.
Right. And it's a totally different experience, and these kids leave that environment just like Neil's saying and say, hey, you know, I don't want to be here again, and this was much more difficult than I'm...
So you've been over to the shock camp, and those guys are doing some amazing work there.
Oh, there's more work there than meets the eye.
But they are changing lives, maybe one at a time or two at a time, but they are changing lives over there. I actually was in the Attica program. You know, I went through Attica as well, and that scared the hell out of me.
Yeah. I mean, scare you straight, like the old school show.
All right, Neil, thanks very much for your take. Should there be a period of national service, you've got to do 2, maybe 3 years after your 18th birthday or after you graduate from high school, whichever comes second, I guess. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Coming up at some point, we will hear what President Trump has told the nation about the State of the Union. We thought you might like to hear that on News Radio 930 WBEN. I got a soul, but I'm not a soldier. Powerly and Bellavia, News Radio 930 WBEN. So one of the most requested topics is this. should there be a mandatory period of national service for our young people? Yes or no? What kind of service would be acceptable? And what do they get in exchange? Free college? Sounds like a plan to me. 803-0930, star 930, and 1-800-616-WBEN.
I'd go citizenship, too. I think we solve the two big, most polarizing issues for the left. You eliminate the expensive student loan and just completely. And by the way, you know who would hate this? Now you're going to get to the truth about free college. Universities and colleges would lose their mind. They would lose their mind.
See, I would think that they would just raise tuition knowing that the government will pay for it.
Oh, well, that's probably true as well. But a lot of schools will shutter. I mean, you're not going to be able to, if it's a fixed rate and right. You're not, you know, there's no way to gouge, that would be tough. But the other thing is that you'd give incentives as well. You now free up more funds for the military to keep the best of the best, give them more money. I mean, look, right now, if you're a special forces medic, some of these guys, I mean, what they're doing with doctors to pay back those loans, you'd be much better off just handing someone, and they have, $150,000 to say, give me 10 years. I mean, that's a bonus onto what they're doing. If you find a gem in the rough, you go out there and you end up finding some kid who's the next, stud. Yeah, you reward them just like they would be rewarded at a Fortune 500 company. And now the military is competing because you have the best of the best. And if you want to join the Peace Corps, you know, what's wrong with digging a well in an area or filtering water in Flint, Michigan? I mean, that's all good stuff, right? Just don't make them build bridges. No one wants that.
Let's get back to the calls on News Radio 930 WBEN. Mandatory service, yes or no? This is Andy in Newfane. Andy, you're on WBEN.
Hey, guys. You're doing a great job there.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Hey, I just want to know, how do we get the Democrats to think they thought of it?
Well, that's why I'm saying it's about immigration and it's about a college free tuition.
Right. Okay.
Those are the little, carrots that you dangle.
It's a great idea.
I think it would be a great idea, too. And, you know, I mean, you know that the Dems are going to make it. Oh, you want to turn these people. They're going to build the wall. That's what they're going to do.
Oh, yeah.
No. But take away the two issues from the left and you got a deal.
And when I got out, I got a job doing the same thing I did while I was in the Air Force, and I retired after 25 years as a firefighter for the federal government, a DOD firefighter, crash fire rescue stuff. And I just want to say that it's the best thing I ever did. It ended up being a career move for me, and I think it's a great thing for any young person. It could be. I mean, obviously, it's not the same for everybody, but I do agree with it. I just think that if you force people to do it, the attitudes, I mean, even if you're volunteering, when I was in, there was always bad attitudes even then.
Well, that's one thing you don't find in the radio business. He says very sarcastically.
But listen, what Andy's talking about, though, is, you know, if you're like an air traffic controller and you're doing that in the military, you're not, you know, there's not a whole lot an infantryman can do in the civilian sector. But when you have a skill and you're learning and you're doing this at the, by the way, it's not like the Air Force isn't, you know, training the best of the, these are the most elite aircraft in the most congested areas on the globe. I mean, you go from Andy working in the Air Force to moving over to LaGuardia, you know, I think you were doing some more sophisticated stuff.
Yeah. I mean, the training is unbelievable. I mean, these young people now that are in the Air Force, they can be on a list before they even get out of the Air Force. They can be on a list for a government job.
And that's the way it should work.
Right out of the military and right into a job paying. Sorry. Hey.
Yeah, we'll let you go.
You're being attacked by wolves.
Coyotes. And by the way, if you ever have a coyote who wants to sneak into your home, call David. I'll give you his cell phone number in just a little bit.
No, but think about that. If you, the way it should work in the military is you put on your uniform on a Friday and you get out, and on Monday you have a job. Absolutely. That's the way it should work, and, well, and it doesn't, and it's a tragedy.
Andy, thank you very much for your service. Appreciate it very much. Let's go to some more callers. It is Ray in Strikersville, 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN. Ray in Strikersville, hello.
Hello, how are you guys?
Sir.
For taking my call, I wanted to say that I was drafted during Vietnam. And I spent 2 years there. I was not in a war zone. I wasn't in a combat zone. They say that there's 7 support people for every 1 troop that's in the rice paddy. So I think it's the best thing that ever happened to me, as I was raised in what I call a white ghetto, a very, very poor family. And I went to a Catholic school because it was the closest one, and everybody there was rich and haircuts every week and all this stuff. And I never really felt equal to anybody that I knew until I got in the Army. Then I found out that it wasn't so bad. I could do some things that other people couldn't do. And for once, I felt like a real, honest-to-God human being who could, in fact, be productive. So I just thought you guys should know that. I'd love to see every kid in the service, however. And there's obviously the 11 Bravo or MOS for the ground pounders. There's always that issue. But there's so many support personnel that back up these guys, and you know, including drones and everything else these days. I don't think it's quite as bad as it was in Korea and Vietnam, things like that.
That's a great point. Thank you for your service, Ray. And you bring up a lot of interesting points. You know, that's one of the main things I got out of the Army. I got a sense of purpose. I got a sense of worth. And, you know, as a young guy that really – and, by the way, September 11th changed all that as well. But I was in before that. And, yeah, I think it made me a better – veterans are better citizens. I really believe that. You have a better appreciation. It doesn't mean that you can't be a great citizen without the military. It just helps you to be a better citizen once you've served.
Phone number on WBEN. The topic, first of all, is should there be a period of national service that is required of all of our young people, male, female, gay, straight, whatever, and that is, of course, barring circumstances which would prevent somebody from doing anything in the volunteer sector. 803-0930, star 930 on the cell phone, 1-800-616-WBEN. 803-0930, star 930, 1-800-616-WBEN.
You know, Tom, we've been running tape on the Trump speech. We'll get to that. We've got some other audio that we'll play for you. And but, of course, we're talking about, and again, you know, the draft. I think people get confused a little bit with the draft.
And, oh, they do.
And Vietnam messed all that up, too. I mean, you know, I don't even know if it used to be a rite of passage. Now, you grew up 18 years old was the drinking age.
Right.
Right. And it was a rite of passage when you were 17, you knew that come your 18th birthday, you had to go down and register. And it was real because you were very, you know, about 10 years removed from people who did this, got drafted, and this was a real thing. Today, people register to vote. They registered for Selective Service. And it's not as important as it was for people that grew up, you know, late 70s, early 80s.
David, the day of my 18th birthday, signed up for the draft at the post office on Delaware Avenue at the time. Then went down to downtown Buffalo, got my sheriff's card, and registered to vote, all on my 18th birthday.
That was a big deal, though.
It
was
like, got in the horse and buggy, and it was so good. We took the Gettysville Toll Road. It was good.
Yeah, we went across the canal, got our mules.
Well, we
I mean that was.
We got on the flatboat down the river, and it was only 2 hours to get downtown.
We paid our respects to at the president's funeral at the 1901.
These are all age jokes, by the way.
Age is what he's saying.
Yes,
the point is though is that a draft there are ways that let's be honest. Look at the last generation of politicians that have been accused of draft dodging, or folks that, you know, because you're an affluent
every
family.
Every single one of them.
Right. And at feet. Well, listen, I'll be the first to tell you, I don't want to be on a road march with a person with flat feet. By the way, you're going to get carried. And I'm probably going to be the one carrying you, and that's not fun for me.
Or bone spurs.
Anything like that. It's absolutely a disqualifier. But that doesn't mean you can't do something else. It doesn't mean that you can't serve. That doesn't mean that, you know, you can't, you know, perform any other duty. There are so, and when, you know, the last caller talked about support units, you know, you're looking at 5-1 for every guy with a rifle that's all he does. There's five people that have to support that guy with a rifle. So, you know, every one of these jobs is important. And if you don't think they are, you know, you look at someone who does fuel and you think, oh, well, that's the easiest job in the world until you need fuel. And then you realize that guy driving a fuel truck is driving a giant explosive bomb everywhere he goes. And, you know, you need him to be there. And 9 times out of 10, the enemy understands what JP-8 means. They understand what aviation fuel is. And if you could blow up that truck, that fuel's not going to get to, you know, the guys are going to reach out and touch you. So they become an endangered species, and they've got to fight, and they've got to get to the front. There's no soft skill jobs anymore in the modern battlefield.
All right. So should there be a period of service that all young people have to put in? Maybe it's 2 years. Maybe it's 3 years. Tell us what the benefits are. And, you know, if you had to choose, put yourself back in your 18-year-old headspace. If you had to choose where you could serve to do your, let's call it a 2-year tour of duty, if you will, where would it be? Would it be the military? Would it be the Peace Corps? Would it be AmeriCorps? Would it be something else? I mean, David, there are so many opportunities for this that somebody can find something that they might actually enjoy all at the same time while contributing to the overall general welfare of the United States.
Imagine that. Imagine contributing. Imagine giving back. I mean, that really is the one lesson that everyone should learn, is that, you know, we have to be there for each other. We have to serve. We're going to disagree. We're going to, you know, I equate it all to Red Sox fans. I'm a Yankee guy. I've never liked the Red Sox. But, you know, if I can learn to coexist with someone who likes the wrong team, you know, and anyone.
Well, good. This gives me the opportunity to tell me, and you, David, how happy I am that Tom Brady is going back to the Super Bowl.
I don't know how.
Thank you for coexisting.
I have to pull your Buffalo card for that.
You know what? I'm sorry. I love Tom Brady. I love a guy who usually wins. I love a guy who can usually find a way to win. Usually. Not always. I am an unabashed Tom Brady fan. Hate me all you want, but damn it, the guy wins. And you and I all know that if the Buffalo Bills had a chance to have Tom Brady as your quarterback, you would fall in love with him as well. So there.
No, I wouldn't.
Oh, you would.
I wouldn't.
When the Bills go
8-0. If Tom Brady was on fire,
you wouldn't cross the street and urinate on him to put it out.
I don't think I could do that.
Bowerly and Bellavia, should there be a period of national service? So far, guys, it's been a sausage fest. I thought for sure that women, mothers, sisters would call in with their thoughts on national service, but it's been all dudes. Here is, not that there's anything wrong with all dudes. Joe, I'm not so sure I like the way that came out. Here's Joe in Buffalo on WBEN. Joe.
Hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Sir.
Hey, I think it's a good idea to have somebody 18 to 20 do service for our country. But first of all, even part of that should be them getting a high school degree, okay? And secondly, they should resurrect the Civilian Conservation Corps, because there's a lot of work needed to be done in our park system, and these people built our parks. And what's wrong with, you know, doing something for the country?
Not at all. There's nothing wrong with that.
Nothing.
At all.
And I mentioned the CCC, the Civilian Conservation Corps, one of the New Deal programs, and it did a lot of great work around the country. And you know what? When we hear about the California wildfires, part of me has wondered if maybe those forests had been better maintained, maybe if they'd had controlled burns, maybe we wouldn't have the massive forest fires to which California is often heir.
I totally agree with you, and that's a great point. You know, I was drafted. I spent a year in Vietnam, and, you know, I didn't want to be drafted, but actually it was a bitter experience being in the military. And I agree with David. You know, you become a better citizen if you meet other people of different walks of life. You know,
there's a novel, I think Hemingway wrote it, but I don't remember the name of it. But in it, the protagonist basically hates the army, hates the army, hates the army, hates the army. And then one night he has a revelation. He has a character arc and suddenly falls in love with the army. Was that you?
No, I didn't fall in love with the army, but I didn't hate it either. Okay, I did my duty in that, you know, it is what it is. And I did learn a lot from it.
Well, yeah, so did my dad. Like, he hated the Army. He learned that in a big hurry. And look, I don't mean to keep harping on it. I'm just here. The point I'm trying to make here is he did not want to be there. He did his duty just like you did yours and just like a lot of folks listening did theirs. But he always, you know, he had a special high hard one, if you will, for the Army. And it was about, you know, the discipline. It was about the, well, he used to call it the chicken poop. He used to just basically say they were the kings of chicken poop and he wanted no part of it. And they kept trying to make him a sergeant and more, and he kept turning down the promotions.
Yeah, you know, the one thing I have to disagree with David, though, is that he said, well, you're an infantryman. What are you going to do in the outside world? Well, hey, you're going to go to, under a VA bill, you're going to go to school and college, and you're going to get a degree, and that's what I did. I got a civil engineering degree. So even though I was...
Good for you.
And I changed my perspective, okay?
That's great.
Well, that is great. But what I'm saying is that the skills that you learn in the military don't automatically transfer to a job in the civilian corps unless, of course, you do what you did, which is use the tools that you have and the opportunities that, by the way, you earn you earned that degree and you earned that opportunity to get a degree. But unfortunately, you know, outside of Walmart greeter in Batavia, evidently, there's really nothing an infantryman can do outside of, you know, I mean, if Fisher Price in East Aurora wants to hire for me to kick doors in and break, you know, equipment, I'm ready for the job, but that's not going to happen.
Well, it could be a security guard.
I don't see David's arc heading in that particular direction.
I'll tell you what, though, even the security guards, I've noticed, I read these reports all the time of guys who come right from a combat zone and go into those professions, and, you know, people who evaluate threat that have been under threat, like someone in the military, like yourself or your peers, it's a little bit different. You know, I mean, you might be more apt to react to something because you're used to being reactive to things, and that might not be conducive, but who knows? They're out there.
Joe, thank you for the call, and thank you for your service to our country.
Thank you, Joe.